بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. ألا وإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد،
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. The Sheikh began by khutbat al-hajjah, praising Allah Azza wa Jal, sending salam upon the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then he made dua that Allah give us success in what we are about to study.
ولا شك أن تدارس العلم ومذاكرته أمر له فضله في الإسلام.
And the Sheikh said that there is no doubt that studying and revising knowledge is something that has its virtue in Islam.
والمسلم حريص على أن يبذل وأن يجتهد في مرضاة الله عز وجل. ولا شك أن طلب العلم من أهم الأمور التي ينبغي على كل مسلم ومسلمة أن يهتموا بها.
And he said that there is no doubt that there is no doubt that a person has zeal in doing that which pleases Allah, and seeking knowledge is one of the things that Allah is pleased with.
وسنتدارس بإذن الله تعالى كتاب الأصول الثلاثة لشيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى.
He said, and together we will study الأصول الثلاثة, a book by الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب.
وهذا الكتاب على صغر حجمه إلا أنه عظيم الفائدة.
He said, and this book, even though it is small in size, it is great in its benefit.
ومؤلفه شيخ الإسلام محمد ابن عبد الوهاب النجدي التميمي رحمه الله تعالى أحد أئمة الإسلام وأحد العلماء الأعلام.
And the author of this book is Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab al-Najdi. He is from Najd, Tamimi, from the tribe of Tamim. And the Shaykh said that he is one of the A'lam, one of the great scholars of Islam.
له مؤلفات كثيرة عظيمة النفع، منها كتاب التوحيد، ومنها الأصول الثلاثة وهو هذه الرسالة، ومنها الأصول الستة، ومنها كشف الشبهات، ومنها القواعد الأربعة، وغيرها من الرسائل المفيدة المهمة لطالب العلم.
And the Sheikh said that the author, he has many beneficial books, such as a book called Kitab al-Tawheed, and this book Al-Usul al-Thalatha, the three fundamental principles, as well as Kashf al-Shubahat, removing the doubts, and Al-Qawaid al-Arba, the four principles, and Usul al-Sitta, the six principles, and many other books.
وشيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى كما سبق من العلماء الكبار ولقب بشيخ الإسلام، فلا نطيل في ترجمته لأننا سنخوض بإذن الله في هذه الرسالة ونتدارسها
وهي المقصود بالدرس، ولكن أختم ما يتعلق به بسنة وفاته، حيث توفي رحمه الله تعالى سنة 1200 من الهجرة النبوية. عن عمر يقارب 91 سنة. نعم.
نعم. So the Sheikh, he said that Sheikh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he mentioned about him that he has been given this title, Sheikh al-Islam, and he said that we will not go too much into his biography, because what is intended is to study this book itself. So inshallah we will begin with this book. However, he just wanted to finish this little introduction by stating the date of his death, which was Sana Sheikh Shalat Alf Mietin, in the year 1206 Hijri, after the Hijri.
قال رحمه الله تعالى: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اعلم رحمك الله أنه يجب علينا تعلم 4 مسائل.
And the author begins by saying, in the name of Allah, the most merciful, the bestower of mercy, know, may Allah have mercy on you, that we are obligated to learn 4 matters.
قوله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ابتدأ هذه الرسالة كما في أول القرآن، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وكما جاء في بعض كتابات النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعض كتابات الصحابة أنهم كانوا يبتدئون ببسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
نعم. And the Sheikh said that he began this treatise by saying, in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the bestower of mercy, which is the way that the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal began the Quran with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and also what is authentically established on the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and some of the Sahaba, that they would begin whatever they wrote with this.
وأما حديث كل أمر ذي بال لا يبدأ فيه ببسم الله فهو أبتر الذي يذكره كثير من الشراح في كتبهم، فهو حديث ضعيف لا يصح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And the Sheikh said that as for the hadith that many of the people explaining this book or other books, they mention the hadith which states that every important affair that does not begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, then it is cut off. He said that this hadith is not authentic, and it is not established on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
قوله اعلم رحمك الله، اعلم بمعنى تيقن واجزم ولا تشك، وقوله رحمك الله دعاء لطالب العلم بأن يرحمه الله عز وجل، وفي رحمة الله للعبد خير كثير.
نعم. So he says no. And the Shaykh, he said that no, it means to have knowledge, to have certain strong knowledge, meaning without any doubt. May Allah have mercy on you. He said this is a dua that the author is making for the one who is the student of knowledge, the one who is reading. نعم.
قال يجب علينا تعلم 4 مسائل، أي أنه يجب على كل مسلم ومسلمة أن يتعلموا هذه المسائل 4.
نعم. And then the author, he says that we are obligated to learn 4 matters. There was something that the Sheikh said, I forgot. He said, may Allah have mercy on you. And the Sheikh said that mercy, no doubt, this is something important for the student of knowledge. نعم. And then he said that there's a lot of good in it. And he said, and as for this, that we are obligated to learn 4 matters, he says that this means that it is obligatory upon every Muslim and Muslimah to learn these 4 matters which will be mentioned.
هذه المسائل الأربعة، الأولى العلم، والعلم قال وهو معرفة الله ومعرفة نبيه ومعرفة دين الإسلام بالأدلة.
Now, so the first of these matters that the author mentions is knowledge. He says, knowledge, which means awareness of Allah, awareness of His Prophet, and awareness of the religion of Islam based on evidences.
Al-ilm, al-Islam, أمر بالعلم وحث عليه والمسلم يعبد ربه على بصيرة أي على علم وهدى من الله عز وجل.
He said that Islam has encouraged us to have knowledge, to seek knowledge, and that the Muslim, he worships Allah عز وجل upon knowledge, meaning upon clarity.
فالعلم فسره رحمه الله تعالى بقوله معرفة الله عز وجل لابد للمسلم أن يعلم أن الله عز وجل هو الخالق المدبر الذي بيده كل شيء سبحانه وتعالى وهذا توحيد الربوبية.
نعم. So the Sheikh, he began by explaining what the author explains knowledge here by saying firstly that knowledge is the awareness of Allah. So the Shaykh, he said that knowledge of Allah means that we must have awareness, knowledge of His rububiyyah, of His Lordship, knowing that He is the Creator, the Sustainer, and all of these affairs which are from the attribute of or from His Lordship, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَأَيْضًا مَعْرِفَةُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ هو المستحق للعبادة فلا تصرف ولا يصرف أي نوع من أنواع العبادة كما سيأتينا إن شاء الله تعالى إلا لله عز وجل وحده لا شريك له.
And also it includes the awareness of Allah in regards to His Lordship, in regards to His worship, which means that we do not worship anything besides Allah عز وجل. We worship Him alone.
فإذا العلم بالله عز وجل كما سبق علم بتوحيد الربوبية وبتوحيد الألوهية معرفة أن الله هو المستحق للعبادة وأن العبادة كلها تصرف لله وحده لا شريك له هذا هو توحيد الألوهية أو ما يسميه العلماء بتوحيد العبادة.
نعم. So the Sheikh, he said again to repeat that awareness of Allah includes awareness of His rububiyyah, His Lordship, and awareness of the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal alone is the one who is worthy of worship and no one else. And this is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, or as some of the ulama they call it, Tawheed al-Ibadah, Tawheed of worship.
ومن العلم بالله عز وجل ومن معرفة الله عز وجل معرفة أسمائه وصفاته وأن له الأسماء وأن له الأسماء الحسنى والصفات العلى سبحانه وتعالى فيعرف العبد هذه الأسماء ويعرف صفات الله عز وجل الثابتة في القرآن والسنة.
And the Sheikh, he said that also from the awareness of Allah عز وجل is having awareness of His asma and sifat, His names and attributes, to know that to Allah belongs the best and the most perfect and beautiful names and attributes.
وهذا ما يسمى عند العلماء بتوحيد الأسماء والصفات.
And this is what the ulama call توحيد الأسماء والصفات, or the oneness of Allah عز وجل in His names and attributes.
ثم قال رحمه الله تعالى ومعرفة نبيه أي معرفة أن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم اصطفاه الله واختاره لرسالته وبعثه وأرسله لهذه الأمة وختم به عليه الصلاة والسلام الأنبياء والرسل فهو آخر الأنبياء والرسل لا نبي بعده صلى الله عليه وسلم وأمره بتبليغ هذا الدين دين الإسلام.
And then the author continues by saying awareness of his prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, And he said that this means to know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is someone that Allah Azza wa Jalla has chosen, and that he is the one that Allah Azza wa Jalla sent to this ummah. And with him, Allah Azza wa Jalla has sealed the prophethood, meaning that he is the last, the final prophet. There is no prophet after him. Now.
ثم قال معرفة قال العلم وهو معرفة الله ومعرفة نبيه ومعرفة دين الإسلام قال بالأدلة أي بالدليل من الكتاب والسنة وما كان عليه الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم من حيث أجمعوا واتفقوا وما كان من هديهم وشأنهم رضوان الله عليهم.
And the author continues by saying, awareness of the religion of Islam based on evidences. So the Shaykh, he explained by saying that this means that we have our knowledge is taken from the Kitab, the Quran, and from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as the companions, what they agreed upon, and in general what they have related to us.
لماذا يقول شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله تعالى بالأدلة؟
So the Shaykh is asking, why does Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, why did he say based on evidences?
لأن أهل الباطل يدعون أنهم على حق ولكن لا دليل عندهم فإذا طلبت الدليل من أهل الباطل لا دليل عندهم إلا الكذب والغش والخداع وما يزينه الشيطان لهم ولو تأملت في حقيقة قولهم تجد أنهم لا دليل عندهم.
نعم. So the Shaykh, he answers this question by saying the reason for evidences is because if you look at the people who have gone astray, people of innovation, people of falsehood, you find that in reality they have no evidence. What they have are lies and trickery and deception. But when you sit and you contemplate about what they really have, they have no evidences. They have only what shaitan has made beautiful to them.
فالمسلم الذي يتعلم العلم ويعرف الحجج البينات يستطيع أن يميز وأن يفرق بإذن الله بين الحق والباطل.
So the Muslim who has knowledge based on evidences, then he is able to differentiate between حق, between the truth, and باطل, falsehood.
فلو جاء صاحب الباطل وقال إن الميت الفلاني ينفع ويضر فنقول له ما الدليل على هذا الكلام؟ ما عنده دليل، لا يستطيع أن يثبت دليل إلا قال فلان أو قال فلان ورأى فلان وحصل كذا.
نعم. So he said that if a person of falsehood, for example, person of falsehood comes and he says that this dead person in the grave, he can hear or he can benefit, and you ask him, what is your dalil? He will have no dalil other than to say that such and such person said, or that this person saw something, or that this happened to such and such person. But he has no dalil, nothing from the Quran, Sunnah, and the likes.
وَأَمَّا صَاحِبُ الْحَقِّ فَيَقُولُ لَهُ نَجِدُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ وَالسُّنَّةِ أَنَّ الْمَيِّتِ مَا يَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِهِ أَنْ يَنْفَعْ نَفْسَهُ فَضْلًا أَنْ يَنْفَعْ غَيْرَهُ.
And as for the person of truth, then he can respond by saying, we find in the Quran and Sunnah that which proves that the person who is dead, he is unable to help himself. So how can he help someone else?
ونجد أن الذي بيده الأمر أن الذي بيده الأمر كله هو الله عز وجل.
And we find in this, meaning in the Quran and the Sunnah, that the one who has control of all affairs is Allah. In the hands of Allah are all affairs.
إذن اعلم بارك الله فيكم أول مسألة العلم. فإذا قيل لك ما المراد بالعلم فقل معرفة الله ومعرفة نبيه ومعرفة دينه بالأدلة هذه المسألة الأولى.
So the first affair or the first matter is knowledge. And he said, if it is said to you, what is knowledge? What is intended by knowledge? Then you can answer by saying knowledge is awareness of Allah, awareness of His Prophet, and awareness of the religion based on evidences.
ثم قال رحمه الله تعالى الثانية أي المسألة الثانية العمل به.
And then the author said that the second, meaning the second affair or the second matter, is acting upon this.
أي العمل بالعلم. أنت لماذا تعلمت؟ هل تعلمت ليقال عالم فقط؟ ليقال طالب علم؟ أنت وأنا وكل مسلم يجب علينا أن نتعلم العلم لنعمل به، فنعمل على علم وهدى وبصيرة.
He said, so why did you learn? The one who is learning, why did you learn? Did you learn so that you can be called a scholar? Or did you learn so that you can be called a student of knowledge? He said, rather every Muslim and Muslimah, we must learn so that we may act. We must act upon what we learn. So that we can act upon, then he said, so that we can act upon knowledge and clarity and evidence now.
ولاحظ وتأمل قوله العمل به، يعني في عبادتك لله عز وجل وفي كل عباداتك لله عز وجل تعمل بعلم بدليل من القرآن والسنة وما كان عليه الصحابة، لا تعمل برأيك ولا بعقلك ولا برأي فلان، لأن الإسلام دين الله أرسل به نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم وأمرنا باتباعه صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So he said, contemplate upon the statement of the author, acting with it or acting on it. What he intends here is acting upon knowledge. So he says that we do not act, meaning we do not worship Allah, we do not do anything in the religion except with knowledge. Everything that we must do, it must have knowledge.
فمن أتانا مثلا ببعض العبادات في شهر رجب التي لم يفعلها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، ماذا نقول له؟ نقول له هذا العمل غير مقبول. لماذا؟ لأنه لم يشرعه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
He said, so for example, if someone comes with some of the innovative acts of worship that people perform, for example, in the month of Rajab, then what can we say to him? We say to him that, where have you gotten this, Sheikh?
قلت شهر رجب.
إيه نعم قلنا. نقول له.
لم يشرعنا غير مقبول لأن الرسول لم يشرع.
نعم. So we say to him that this is something which is not accepted, because the reason is that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم did not legislate it. نعم.
ثم قال إذا قال أولا العلم، ثم ثانيا العمل به، ثم ثالثا الدعوة إليه. المسألة الثالثة الدعوة إلى هذا العلم.
نعم. So first he said knowledge, and then second is acting upon this, and third, the third matter is calling to it.
الثالثة الدعوة إليه. فأنا المسلم أولا أتعلم، ثانيا أعمل بما علمت، لأن العلم إذا لم يعمل به العبد كان حجة عليه، وإذا عمل به العبد كان حجة له. فإذا علمت وعملت أدعو الناس إلى الخير من العلم الذي تعلمته.
نعم. So the Sheikh, he said that firstly we must learn, this is going back to knowledge, and secondly we must act. He said because knowledge is either for a person or against. Knowledge is either for a person or against. If you act upon the knowledge, then this is for you. And if you do not act upon the knowledge, then it is against you. So first we learn, and then we act, and we perform this what we learn. And thirdly, we call the people to the good that we have learned.
وهذا أي هذه المسألة هذه المسألة مسألة مهمة دعوة الناس إلى الخير إلى العلم لا بد من مراعاة أمور الأمر الأول أن تكون الدعوة إلى علم صحيح لا إلى بدع وضلالات وجهالات ما هو العلم الصحيح؟ قال الله قال رسوله قال الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم.
So he said calling to this, yani calling to knowledge, calling to knowledge is something important. And we must pay attention to a number of things. Firstly, what is knowledge? What are we calling to? He said what we are calling to is what Allah said and what the Messenger of Allah said and what the companions are upon. We must call people to what is correct. Not call to bid'ah, not call to innovation or falsehood, misguidance. But call to the truth.
الأمر الثاني أن تكون في دعوتك للناس إلى هذا العلم أن تراعي الحكمة وحسن الدعوة ومراعاة أحوال الناس في أو عند دعوتهم للخير.
نعم. And he said the second thing that we must pay attention to is when we are calling the people, we must have wisdom and we must pay attention to the condition of the people. We must know the condition of the people.
الأمر الثالث في الدعوة أن تنظر لحالك إن كنت عالما فتبين للناس وتشرح للناس وتوضح للناس.
And the third affair is what we must look at ourselves, the condition of ourselves. If you are a person of knowledge, a scholar, then you clarify to the people, you explain to the people, and so on.
وَإِن كُنْتَ طَالِبَ عِلْمٍ تَعَلَّمْتَ بَعْضَ الْمَسَائِلِ فَلَا مَانَعْ مِنْ نَشْرْ هَذِهِ الْمَسَائِلِ الَّتِي تَعَلَّمْتَهَا وَلَيْسَ شَرْطًا لطالب العلم أن يكون عالما حتى يعلم الناس وإنما من تعلم شيئا من الحق فعلمه للناس فله ذلك.
He said, and secondly, if you are not a scholar, but if you are students of knowledge, then you call the people to what you have learned, meaning that you have learned some affairs, then you call the people to that. He said, it's not a condition for the student of knowledge to be a scholar before he can give da'wah, before he calls the people. It is sufficient for him to be a student, but he sticks to what he knows. He only deals with what he knows. No.
وَإِن كُنْتَ لَسْتَ طَالِبَ عِلْمٍ مِنْ عَوَامِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَتَعَلَّمْتَ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ مِنْ كَلَامِ الْعُلَمَاءِ فَلَا مَانِعْ مِنْ نَقْلِهِ إِلَى الزَّوْجَةِ أو الأخوات أو الإخوة أو الجيران والأصدقاء. مثلا سمعت من عالم مشروعية صلاة الضحى، سمعت من عالم تحريم الحلف بغير الله وأنه من الشرك، فلا مانع من أن تنقل هذا لهؤلاء الأقرباء أو الأصدقاء من باب نقل العلم، من باب نقل العلم، فلا مانع من ذلك ولو كنت عاميا.
He said, and as for the general folk, the layman people, that if you are not a student of knowledge and you hear something from one of the scholars, you hear something, some sort, some issue of knowledge from a person of knowledge, from a scholar, then he said, it is allowed for you, there is no harm in narrating what you heard. There is no harm in relating what you heard to your relatives or your neighbors or your friends and the likes of that, your wife or your sisters and brothers and the likes of that. He said there's no harm in this. So for example, he said that if you hear from a scholar about the legislation of praying Salat al-Duha, then you can relate this to the people. If you hear, for example, that it is impermissible to swear by other than Allah, then you can relate this to the people on the condition that you relate the speech of the scholars.
والذي أريد أن أنبه عليه هو أن بعض الناس يخطئ عندما يتعلم علما نافعا ولا يبلغه لأهله وأقربائه وأصدقائه بحجة شيطانية. ما هي هذه الحجة؟ يقول أنا لست عالما ولست طالب علم. نقول نعم، ولو كنت لست عالما ولا طالب علم، أنت مسلم تعلمت شيئا من الخير فانقله وأخبر به غيرك من المسلمين.
He said, and the issue that he wants to point out or focus on here is that some people, they have a doubt. And their doubt is that they learn something of benefit, they learn something of knowledge, but they do not share it. And when they are asked, why is it that they do not share? They say that, I am not a scholar and I am not a student of knowledge. And he said, yes, that's correct. You are not a scholar, or you may not be a student of knowledge, but there is no harm in sharing what you have learned. So you can share with your friends and your family and the likes.
إذن انتهينا الآن من التنبيه الثالث. التنبيه الرابع، شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب يقول العلم والعمل ثم الدعوة، فالدعوة إلى الله تكون بعد العلم، تكون بعد العلم. أما أن تدعو إلى الله وأنت على جهل فلا.
The fourth thing to point out, as the Sheikh said here, regarding da'wah, is that as Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab said, that first is knowledge, second is acting upon it, and third is calling. So a person, to keep this order, a person does not call without having knowledge. This is incorrect.
قد يأتي سؤال، أنت قد تقول لي، قلت سابقا علم أصدقائك أقربائك الخير والعلم، والآن تقول لا بد أن تتعلم وأن لا تدعو أنت جاهل، فما الفرق بين الاثنين؟
نعم. So he said that you may ask a question now. You may say, okay, but you have said just now that there is no harm in narrating what you heard. There is no harm in relating what you learn, and now you are saying that you must learn first. So what is the difference?
الإشكال واضح؟
Is it understood? The question is understood?
الجواب، نقول الأمور التي لا تعلمها لا تتكلم فيها، والأمور التي تعلمتها من العالم أو طالب العلم وعرفت أنها حق وأنها من شرع الله، فأنت تبلغها لا تعلمها، أنت توصلها للناس لا تشرحها وتبين لهم، إنما أنت تنقل لهم كلام العلماء والأدلة في ذلك، وما تعلمته فلا مانع من إبلاغه للناس كما تعلمته.
نعم. He says, so the difference here is that what you do not know you cannot speak about, but the things, the issues that you have learned them correctly from a scholar or from a student of knowledge, then there is no harm in relating this. You are simply relaying what you have heard. It does not mean you are explaining in detail. It does not mean you are going into a sharh and going explanation. But you are simply just relaying what you have heard.
إذن علم فعمل فدعوة، هذه ثلاث مسائل. المسألة الرابعة ما هي؟ الصبر على الأذى فيه.
نعم. So the three issues so far is knowledge, and then secondly acting upon this knowledge, and thirdly is calling to it, and the fourth issue or the fourth matter is being patient upon the harm that comes with it.
الصبر على الأذى فيه بمعنى أن من يعلم الناس الخير ويدعوهم إلى الحق الذي جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم قد يتعرض للأذى. ما هو الأذى؟ إما شتم، وإما ضرب، وإما يعني أذية بوضع شيء في طريقه، وإما بالحبس، وإما بالطرد، وأي نوع من أنواع الأذى. قد يتعرض صاحب الحق للأذى، فلا بد أن يعود المسلم الذي يدعو إلى الله، لا بد أن يعود نفسه الصبر، عدم الشكوى وعدم الجزع مما يحصل له.
نعم. So briefly to summarize what the Sheikh is saying, he said that patience upon the harm that comes with it. He said that after a person learns and he acts and he begins to call, that what happens is that when a person calls to the truth, he will usually fall into some sort of harm. The people will either curse him, or they will speak ill of him, they may lie, they may physically attack him, beat him, he may be put in jail. Many different things can happen. He said, so the Muslim, he has to train himself and he has to train himself to be patient, train himself with patience, get used to being patient upon the harm that comes with da'wah. It does not be, meaning the person should not be impatient, he should not be hasty, he should not complain, but he should be patient.
فإذن هذه هي المسائل الأربعة. وشيخ الإسلام ذكر الصبر كما سبق، لأن طالب العلم ومعلم الناس الخير قد يتعرض للأذى، كما تعرض نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم للأذى وهو رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. آذته قريش وطردته، وآذته ثقيف وأخرجته، ووضع أو تعرض صلى الله عليه وسلم للأذى من قومه إلى أن كانت العاقبة له، ومكن الله عز وجل له في الأرض ونصره على أعدائه. ولكن لما صبر صلى الله عليه وسلم وسلك الطريق الشرعي في الدعوة إلى الله عز وجل.
نعم. So the Sheikh, he mentioned these affairs about knowledge and acting and calling to it and patience. And the Sheikh, he said that patience, he mentioned that this is what happens when a person calls to good. And the biggest example obviously is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he began calling, the people of Mecca, Quraysh, they harmed him in many ways. And also the tribe of Thaqif and other people, they harmed him in many ways. And it was only after he was patient and he took the legislated path in being patient and calling to Allah and remaining upon the religion, that Allah Azza wa Jal gave him victory and gave him the ability to conquer his enemies.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى، أو قبل أن ندخل في الآخر، أريد أن أنبه على أمر في قوله والصبر. ليس معنى قوله رحمه الله تعالى والصبر على الأذى فيه أن طالب العلم أو العالم يتعرض لأذية الناس، وإنما معناه أنه يسلك طريق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والصحابة في الدعوة إلى الله، فإذا أوذي صبر، وفرق بين الاثنين.
نعم. And the Sheikh, he just said to clarify another point about patience, one last thing about patience, is that the one who is calling to Allah, he is patient upon the harm that befalls him. It does not mean that he goes out seeking the harm of people. You do not put yourself into problems. Do not put yourself, expose yourself to the trouble and problems of people, but rather you call to Allah in the legislated manner, and if harm falls upon you, then you are patient.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى والدليل على هذه المسائل الأربعة قوله تعالى والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر.
And the author, he says that the proof for this, meaning the proof for these four issues as he has stated them, is the statement of Allah in the Surah Al-Asr, in the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful, by time, verily mankind is at loss, except those who believe and perform righteous deeds, and advise one another with truth, and advise one another with patience.
Allah Azza wa Jal أقسم بالعصر أي بالزمن سواء كان زمن العصر المعروف أو الزمن مطلقا. فالله عز وجل يقسم بما شاء من مخلوقاته، والعبد لا يحلف ولا يقسم إلا بالله عز وجل.
Allah Azza wa Jal began in this surah of his by swearing by time. He said whether this time is something specific, or whether it's something known, or whether this is time in general, there's no difference. Allah knows best. But Allah Azza wa Jal swears by whatever He wants from His creation. And as for us, the creation, then we only swear by Allah.
على ماذا أقسم الله؟ أقسم الله عز وجل أن الإنسان كل إنسان في خسارة إلا المؤمنين ليسوا في خسارة.
What is it that Allah is swearing by time? What is it that He's swearing about? He is swearing by time that all of mankind in general is in loss, except for those who believe.
إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات إلا الذين اتصفوا بهذه الصفات وهي أربع صفات. الصفة الأولى أنهم آمنوا على علم.
نعم. So he said that people in general, mankind is in loss, except, so here is the exception. The exception here are those who believe and they do good deeds until the end. He said, so there are four qualities. Allah Azza wa Jal describes four qualities. The first of them is that they believe, meaning they believe with knowledge. They have knowledge upon what they believe.
الصفة الأولى إذن أنهم آمنوا على علم. فلما علموا وعملوا الصالحات عملوا. هذه الصفة الثانية أنهم عملوا بما علموا.
The second thing, or firstly, is that they believed with knowledge. Meaning they believed after having knowledge. The second thing is that they acted upon this knowledge. So the righteous deeds, as mentioned here, is based upon the knowledge that they have. So the first thing is that they believed, they have knowledge. Second thing is that they acted.
آمنوا بعلم عملوا بما علموا سكتوا كتموا لا تواصوا وتواصوا بالحق يعني أمر بعضهم بعضا بالحق بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر.
نعم. So the first thing is that they learned, they have knowledge, they believed upon the knowledge. Second thing is that they acted upon what they knew. And the third thing, were they quiet? Did they remain silent? No. The third thing is that they called one another, they advised one another with truth. This means that they ordered with good and they forbade each other from evil. Now,
إذن آمنوا بعلم فعملوا فدعوا الناس إلى هذا العلم ثم صبروا وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر يعني أوصى بعضهم بعضا بالصبر على الأذى وبالصبر على طاعة الله وبالصبر عن معصية الله عز وجل.
نعم. So they believed upon knowledge, and then they acted upon what they knew, and then they called one another to this. They called the people to the good that they knew. And the last thing is that tawassaw bil-sabr, they advise one another with patience, meaning they would advise one another to remain patient upon what they're upon. They would advise one another to be patient upon the truth, upon obedience to Allah, and upon leaving the ma'asiyah, the sins, to leave off sins.
فإذا دلت هذه السورة على المسائل الأربعة: العلم في قوله الذين آمنوا، لأن الإيمان يكون بعلم، والعمل في قوله وعملوا الصالحات، والدعوة في قوله وتواصوا بالحق، والصبر على الأذى فيه في قوله وتواصوا بالصبر. نعم.
He said, so this surah, it proves exactly these four points as mentioned before. And the way that it proves them is that when Allah Azza wa Jalla said, except for those who believe, belief is something that has knowledge, it has to be upon knowledge. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, they acted upon good. Acting upon good is acting upon the knowledge. Calling to it, the da'wah, calling to it, is تَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ, advising one another with the truth. And being patient upon the harm that befalls them, tawassaw bis-sabr, to advise one another with patience.
قال الشافعي رحمه الله تعالى: لو ما أنزل الله حجة على خلقه إلا هذه السورة لكفتهم.
The author continues by quoting Imam al-Shafi'i, may Allah have mercy on him. He said that had Allah not sent down a proof to His creation other than this chapter, this surah, it would have been sufficient for them.
يعني أن يعني الإمام الشافعي رحمه الله تعالى أن هذه السورة في وجوب العلم والعمل والدعوة والصبر تغني عن الآيات الكثيرة التي جاءت في الأمر بالعلم والعمل والصبر والدعوة والدعوة والصبر. بمعنى أن الله لو لم ينزل إلا هذه السورة فقط لكانت هذه السورة كافية في إقامة الحجة عليهم على الناس. هذا معنى قول الإمام الشافعي رحمه الله تعالى.
نعم. So the statement, the Shaykh, he explains the statement of Imam al-Shafi'i رحمه الله, may Allah have mercy on him. He's saying that this surah, it contains all of these affairs that we have mentioned, and it clearly establishes the obligation of learning, it establishes the obligation of acting and da'wah, calling to this and being patient. He said that in this affair, this surah is sufficient, meaning that it suffices us from many other different types of evidences, which are also present. And that means that if Allah Azza wa Jalla was to only send down this ayah, or were He to only send down this ayah, it would have been sufficient evidence upon us.
إذن مراد الشافعي رحمه الله تعالى أن هذه السورة فيها العظة والعبرة لكل مسلم أن يتعلم ويعمل ويدعو ويصبر.
نعم. So again, from the statement of Imam Shafi, is that in this surah there is enough of a reminder to establish that upon every Muslim and Muslima is to learn and act and call and be patient.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى: وقال البخاري رحمه الله تعالى: باب العلم قبل القول والعمل. والدليل قوله تعالى: فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله واستغفر لذنبك، فبدأ بالعلم قبل القول والعمل.
نعم. And then the author continues by quoting Imam al-Bukhari رحمه الله, may Allah have mercy on him. where he said the title of the chapter, Knowledge Comes Before Speech and Action. And the proof of this is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, know that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and seek forgiveness for your sins. So the Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahab, he said, so he began by mentioning knowledge before speech and actions.
قول البخاري رحمه الله تعالى باب العلم قبل القول والعمل فيه ما سبق أنه يجب على المسلم إذا تكلم في المسائل أن يتكلم بعلم، وأنه يحرم على المسلم ولو كان عالما أن يتكلم في المسائل بغير علم.
نعم، and he said that the statement of Imam al-Bukhari and the ayah that he proves it with, it contains evidence for what has preceded, in that a person must have knowledge before speaking, and that it is impermissible, even upon a scholar, even upon the alim, the scholar, it is impermissible for him to speak about something that he does not know.
قال والدليل قوله تعالى فاعلم، هذا العلم قبل القول والعلم، قبل القول والعمل، أنه لا إله إلا الله قول، واستغفر لذنبك عمل، فبدأ بالعلم فاعلم، قبل القول لا إله إلا الله، والعمل واستغفر لذنبك، وهذا يدل على وجوب العلم قبل القول والعمل.
نعم، so here Imam Bukhari, he says knowledge comes before speech and action, and he proves it by saying the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, so know that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. He says know, this is a command to know, have knowledge. This obviously proves that knowledge comes first. And then أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ لَلَّهُ, that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. This is speech. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبَكَ, and seek forgiveness for your sins. This is action. So in this way, it proves everything. Do you guys want to continue after Maghrib? Or is this, you know, this is enough? Huh?
قال رحمه الله اعلم رحمك الله أنه يجب على كل مسلم ومسلمة تعلم هذه المسائل الثلاث والعمل بهن.
So the author continues by saying, know, may Allah have mercy on you, that it is obligatory upon every Muslim, male and female, to learn and act upon the following three things.
شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى بعد أن بيّن لنا وجوب العلم والعمل والدعوة والصبر انتقل للكلام عن مسائل مهمة متعلقة بالتوحيد، وهي ثلاث مسائل سيذكرها واحدا بعد الأخرى ولكن المهم أن تعلم بارك الله فيكم أنه يجب على كل مسلم ومسلمة وجوبا عينيا، يعني لا بد لكل مسلم ومسلمة من معرفتها.
نعم، so he said that the Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahab, he continues after speaking about knowledge and action and the likes of what has preceded, he moves on to three very important things, and these three things are related to Tawheed, about Allah Azza wa Jal. These three things are knowing about Allah Azza wa Jal. And he said it is important for us to know that these things, these affairs that he will mention, are obligatory upon every male and female, what the ulama, what the scholars of Islam, they call wujub al-ayn or fard al-ayn, which means it is specific to every individual. Every single one of us, singly, every single one has to know.
لأن العلم منه ما هو فرض عين، يعني كالصلوات الخمس لا بد لكل مسلم ومسلم أن يتعلمها، ومنها ما هو فرض كفاية كمسائل البيوع أو مسائل الحدود والديات يجب على بعض المسلمين تعلمها، ويخطئ بعض المسلمين حين يظن أن العلم كله فرض كفاية، وهذا خطأ.
نعم. And then the Sheikh explained that knowledge is of two categories: what is called fard ain, which is upon every single individual, such as knowledge of tawhid and knowledge of belief in general in Islam. And the second category is what they call fard kifaya, which is knowledge that is sufficient if only a group of people learn. Not everyone has to know. Right? So for example, if only the scholars, they learn these affairs and they deal with these affairs, it's sufficient for everybody else. And the example of this is, he mentioned issues of buying and selling and trading, that if this is only, yani this is something only studied by the scholars, it's sufficient. No.
قال الأولى أن الله خلقنا ورزقنا ولم يتركنا هملا بل أرسل إلينا رسولا فمن أطاعه دخل الجنة ومن عصاه دخل النار.
So the author continues by saying, first of these three things which are obligatory is that Allah Azza wa Jal created us, provided sustenance for us, and He did not leave us neglected. Rather, He sent a messenger to us. So whoever obeys Him will enter paradise, and whoever disobeys Him will enter the hellfire.
هذه المسألة الأولى أن نعلم جميعا أن الذي خلقنا هو الله، في آيات كثيرة في القرآن وفي السنة ما يدل على أن الله عز وجل هو الخالق، وهذا كان يقر به المشركون أن الذي خلقنا ورزقنا هو الله عز وجل، فلا بد أن نعلم هذا الأمر وما يترتب عليه من الإيمان بأن الله هو الخالق.
نعم. So the first thing that we must know is that Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one who created us. Knowing the Creator, who is He? He is Allah Azza wa Jal. And He said that this is proven obviously in many ayat and many ahadith that indicate and that clearly show that Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one that created us. And it is important to know this and to know what is built upon this in terms of having belief in this. Now,
Allah khalaqana subhanahu wa ta'ala wa arsala ilayna rasulan Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man ata'ahu dakhala al-jannah wa man 'asahu dakhala an-nar. Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam: كل أمتي يدخل الجنة إلا من أبى. قالوا: ومن يأبى يا رسول الله؟ قال: من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى.
So he said that Allah Azza wa Jal created us and He sent a messenger to us. He sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as a messenger to us. So whoever obeys Him will enter paradise and whoever disobeys Him will enter the hellfire. So the Shaykh explained, he said that as it comes in a hadith that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, all of my ummah, all of my nation will enter into paradise except for those who refuse. So the companions, they said, O Messenger of Allah, who will refuse? And he said, whoever obeys me will enter paradise, and whoever disobeys me has refused.
فإذن بارك الله فيكم، الله خلقنا ورزقنا، الله أوجدنا من العدم ولم يتركنا هملا. ما معنى ولم يتركنا هملا؟ أي أنه سبحانه وتعالى لم يهملنا بل كرمنا وشرفنا ببعثة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشرفنا وكرمنا بعبادته سبحانه وتعالى. فالإنسان الذي يعبد الله عز وجل والذي يوحد الله عز وجل، فإنه قد أكرمه الله عز وجل بهذه العبادة.
نعم. So he said, as the author says here, that Allah created us and that He did not leave us neglected. So he explained, what does this mean that He did not leave us neglected? It means that Allah Azza wa Jal did not leave us alone, but rather He took care of us and He gave us importance by sending the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to us, and that He has honored us by sending us this Messenger, and that He has honored us by making us or by commanding us to worship Him. So he said that verily the one who worships Allah, then he is honored.
قال رحمه الله من أطاعه دخل الجنة ومن عصاه دخل النار. من عصى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومات على الكفر فهذا خالد مخلد في النار، ومن عصى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو مؤمن لكن خالف أمره عليه الصلاة والسلام فهذا تحت المشيئة، إن شاء الله عذبه ثم مصيره إلى الجنة، وإن شاء غفر له ابتداء. نعم.
نعم. And then he explains the statement of the author where he says, whoever obeys him will enter paradise, meaning obeying the prophet. Whoever obeys him will enter paradise, and whoever disobeys him will enter the hellfire. He said that whoever disobeys him with kufr, with disbelief, then he will enter the hellfire forever. However, whoever disobeys him, and he disobeys the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he is a believer, then he is under, and he dies upon that, sorry. Yani if someone disbelieves in Allah and dies upon that, then he will be in the hellfire forever. And whoever disobeys the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he dies upon that, but he is a believer, then he is under the decision of Allah, he is under the will of Allah. If Allah wills, He can forgive him, and if He wills, He will punish him, but in the end, he will still go back to paradise.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى والدليل قوله تعالى إنا أرسلنا إليكم رسولا شاهدا عليكم كما أرسلنا إلى فرعون رسولا فعصى فرعون الرسول فأخذناه أخذا وبيلا.
And the author continues by saying that the proof for this, what he has mentioned previously, is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, that verily we sent to you a messenger to be a witness over you, just as we sent a messenger to Fir'aun, the Pharaoh. But the Pharaoh disobeyed the messenger, so we seized him with a severe punishment.
هذا الدليل الذي ذكره الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى فيه أن الله عز وجل خلقنا، ثم لما خلقنا لم يهملنا لأنه أرسل إلينا رسولا، وهذا الرسول شاهدا علينا بأنه قد بلغنا الحجة من الله عز وجل بعبادة الله وحده لا شريك له. ثم ضرب مثلا بمن سبقنا، كما أرسل الله موسى إلى فرعون فلما عصى فرعون موسى انتقم الله منه وأهلكه فأخذه أخذا وبيلا، أخذا شديدا، كما نعلم جميعا حيث أغرقه ومن معه من جنده ومن يناصره.
So the Shaykh explains the usage of this ayah here by saying that in this ayah there is evidence that Allah Azza wa Jal created us and provided for us and did not leave us neglected, but rather He sent a messenger to us, as Allah Azza wa Jal says that we sent a messenger, and that this messenger is a witness over us. Allah says that we sent you a messenger to be a witness over you. And then He said that Allah Azza wa Jal made an example in this ayah for us. He said, just as we sent the messenger to Fir'aun, meaning Musa alayhi salam, to Fir'aun. And he gave us the example of when Fir'aun disobeyed the messenger, disobeyed Musa, that Allah Azza wa Jal punished him with a severe punishment. And we know that this was a very severe punishment. As we know, Allah Azza wa Jal drowned him.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى والثانية أن الله لا يرضى أن يشرك معه أحد في عبادته لا ملك مقرب ولا نبي مرسل.
And the second, as the author continues, the second of these important issues is that Allah is not pleased with anyone being mixed into worship with Him, neither an angel brought close nor a prophet who was sent.
يعني الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى يقول يجب علينا أن نعلم أن الله لا يرضى بالشرك ولا يرضى أن يشرك معه غيره كما جاء في الحديث القدسي أن الله عز وجل يقول أنا أغنى الشركاء عن الشرك من عمل عملا أشرك فيه معي غيري تركته وشركه.
نعم. So he says that the second thing is that we must know, it is obligatory upon us to know, that Allah Azza wa Jal is not pleased with shirk, with ascribing partners to Allah, polytheism, worshipping other than Allah. And he mentioned a hadith Qudsi in which Allah Azza wa Jal says that He is not in need of shirk, and that anyone who performs an action in which he ascribes a partner to Allah, then he will leave him and his action, and he will leave him and his shirk.
والشيخ رحمه الله تعالى أشار إلى أن الله لا يرضى أن تشرك معه جبرائيل وهو أمين الملائكة. جبريل عليه الصلاة والسلام أمين الملائكة ولا يرضى أن تشرك معه أي نبي من الأنبياء ولو كان محمدا فإن هؤلاء كلهم مخلوقون من دون الله عز وجل عباد أمثالنا والله هو الخالق المستحق للعبادة لا يجوز أن نصرف العبادة لأي أحد كائنا من كان فضرب مثلا بجبريل وبالأنبياء والرسل فمن دونهم من الحجر والشجر والبقر والشمس والقمر والأصنام الله من باب أولى لا يرضى بها شركاء معه.
نعم. So the Sheikh, he explains, to summarize a bit of what the Sheikh explained, that in the speech of the author, that Allah is not pleased with us ascribing any partners to Him in worship. Not an angel brought close, nor a prophet who was sent. He said, not even Jibril. Jibril or Gabriel is one of the highest ranking angel, and he is the one who has been given the trust. And he said that even with this high status, that Allah Azza wa Jal is not pleased with anyone ascribing partners, even Jibril, in worship to him. And not even a prophet, he said, for example, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously the best of the prophets, that Allah Azza wa Jal is not pleased with us to share Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in worship with Allah. So then the Shaykh, he said that if this is the case with the likes of Gabriel, Jibril, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then those who are less than them are even more so, such as the sun and the moon and idols and stones and trees. None of these things Allah will be pleased with them.
والله عز وجل قد أخبرنا في كتابه أنه لا يرضى لعباده الكفر والكفر يدخل فيه الشرك.
نعم.
الله لا يرضى عن الكفر ولا عن الشرك.
نعم. And the Shaykh he mentioned an ayah in which Allah عز وجل says that he is not pleased with kufr, with disbelief, and from the types of kufr, disbelief, is ascribing partners to Allah in worship.
قال والدليل قوله تعالى وأن المساجد لله فلا تدعوا مع الله أحدا.
نعم. And then the author continues by proving his statement with the ayah in which Allah Azza wa Jalla says that verily the masajid belong to Allah, so do not call upon anyone alongside Allah.
وجه الاستدلال من هذه الآية أن الله عز وجل نهانا أن ندعو مع الله معه أحدا أي أحد. فالله نهانا أن ندعو أي أحد من دونه وإنما ندعوه هو سبحانه وتعالى وحده لا شريك له.
نعم. So the way that this is used as an evidence is that Allah Azza wa Jal in this ayah, He has forbidden us from calling upon anyone besides Allah. The word anyone meaning anyone, no matter who it is. It is a general word and it means anyone besides Allah. And He has commanded us instead to worship Him alone and to call upon Him alone.
وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ المساجد لها أحد معنيين، إما أن يكون المراد بها أعضاء السجود، وإما أن يراد بها الأماكن التي يسجد فيها لله المعروفة بالمساجد، وكلها لا تصلح إلا لله.
He said, and as for the meaning of the masajid, it could be one of two things. There are two explanations for this. It could be the parts of the body which are used in sujood and in prostrating to Allah. And it could also be what is generally thought of as masajid, meaning the places of worship. And he said in any case, whether it means this or it means that or both, then it is not correct for any of these things to be done to other than Allah. Meaning all of this belongs to Allah.
والثالثة أن من أطاع الرسول ووحد الله لا يجوز له موالاة من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كان أقرب قريب.
And the third affair, the author continues about the third affair, which is obligatory for us to know, is that whoever obeys the Messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and singles out Allah عز وجل alone in worship, it is not permissible for him to take those who oppose Allah and His messengers as allies, even if they are close relatives.
يريد الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى أن يقول أن من آمن بالله عز وجل ووحده سبحانه وتعالى لا يجوز له محبة الكافرين الذين حادوا الله ورسوله ولو كان هذا الكافر أقرب قريب. لماذا؟ لأنه لا يجتمع في القلب محبة الله ومحبة أعدائه، محبة نصرتهم وموالاتهم ومحبة دينهم لا تجتمع في القلب. نعم.
نعم. So then the Shaykh, he explains about this, about the statement that it is not permissible for a Muslim, a believer, to the one who obeys Allah and His Messenger to love and take alliance with those who oppose Allah and His Messenger, even if they are close relatives. And why? The reason is because it is not possible for obedience of Allah and loving Allah Azza wa Jal and loving the religion of those who disbelieve in Allah and oppose and fight against Allah to be in the same heart. It is not possible for these two types of love to come together. Love of Allah and love of support and allegiance and affiliation with those who oppose the Messenger of Allah and those who oppose the religion of Allah.
إذن مراد الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى بقوله لا يجوز له موالاة من حاد الله ورسوله أي محبتهم لدينهم ونصرتهم لدينهم. هذه الموالاة موالاة كفرية, محبة الكافر لدينه ومحبة نصرته على المؤمنين, هذه هي الموالاة الكفرية. نعم.
Now, and then the Shaykh, he explains what is it that is meant by having allegiance to those who oppose Allah and His Messenger. He said what it means then is to love their religion, love the religion of those who oppose Allah and the Messenger, and to love that they are victorious over the Muslims. So this is not permissible.
وَأَمَّا مَحَبَّةُ الْكَافِرِ لِلدُّنْيَا لَا لِدِينِهِ فَإِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةً فَإِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةً وَلَيْسَتْ بِكُفْرٍ. الموالاة أن تحبهم لدينهم, وأما محبتهم للدنيا تجارة, يعني أن تفتن بما عندهم من تطورات فتحب هؤلاء الكفار, فهذا محرم.
So to clarify, that which has preceded in terms of loving their deen, loving the deen of the religion of the disbelievers, and to love that they are victorious over the Muslims, this is kufr, this is disbelief. And he said, but as for what means, as for loving the disbelievers for the dunya, the affairs of this world, such as being amazed by what they have from the life of this world, or trading and business and the likes of this, then this is impermissible, but it is not kufr, it is not disbelief.
وَأَمَّا التَّعَامُلْ مَعَ الْكُفَّارِ بَيْعًا وَشِرَاءً وَتَبَادُلْ الْمَصَالِحَ الدُّنْيَوِيَّةِ مِنْ غَيْرِ مَحَبَّةٍ لَهُمْ فَهَذَا مُبَاحٌ لَا شَيْءَ فِيهِ لَيْسَ بِكُفْرٍ وَلَيْسَ بِمَعْصِيَةٍ لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مات ودرعه مرهونة عند يهودي, فلم يكن هذا من باب محبتهم ولا موالاتهم, فلا بد أن نعرف هذه الأنواع وأحكامها حتى لا نفتتن بفتنة التكفيريين.
نعم. And he said, he clarified even further that as for simply dealing and working together with the disbelievers, then this is permissible. It is not kufr, it is not disbelief, and it is not even a sin. And he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to deal with the people, the disbelievers, and he died, and his armor was with a Yahudi, a Jewish man. So there is no harm in dealing with them in terms of business and the likes. He said, so we have to differentiate now between loving their deen and loving them for their dunya and simply working with them and dealing with them on a normal basis. And he says, by knowing these things, we will be able to be free from the problems that the takfiris, those who make the Muslims into non-Muslims, have fallen into. Adhan al-Adhan qareeb.
قال الشيخ والدليل قوله تعالى لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم أو أبناءهم أو إخوانهم أو عشيرتهم أولئك كتب في قلوبهم الإيمان وأيدهم بروح منه ويدخلهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه أولئك حزب الله ألا إن حزب الله هم المفلحون. طيب نقف الآن الأذان ثم بعد الصلاة إن شاء الله نكمل.
إن شاء الله after Salah we will continue from here.